May the grace and peace of God be with you. As we begin our Advent pilgrimage, looking forward to the celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, let us in prayer and praise, thanksgiving and song, give voice to the hope set forth in the Scriptures that Christ's reign of love and light will indeed come among us. Let us offer ourselves anew as witnesses to the advent of Christ's glory, seeking to bring Christ's light and love to those who sit in darkness. Come, O long-expected Jesus.
Thank you.
Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Now, in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal. Through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you have been enriched in him, and speak the knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. For him you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The word of the Lord.
In the presence of according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "But in those days, after that supper, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the end of the earth to the end of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson, that soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, only the Father. Be aware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey, but he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his own work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cock crow, or at dawn, or else he might find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
We live in tenuous times. From Wall Street to Main Street, to the streets of Mumbai. These are tender times. All around us, we see signs that life is fleeting. The foundations of security and success have been shaken to the core. What was once a foregone conclusion is now tentative and unsure. Life's vestiges, like dry leaves in the autumn wind, have been scattered. So the challenge before us is how to live with hope. Today is the first Sunday of Advent, the beginning of the Christian year. It's one of my favorite seasons, when we wait for Christ to come into our lives and into our world. It's the time when we are called to begin afresh our spiritual pilgrimage through the seasons of the church. Our gospel speaks of a man going on a journey, and we too are invited to journey toward a new beginning. But at the same time, our gospel asks us to contend with stars falling from the heaven. When we hear an image like that, it sounds a lot like our world today, doesn't it? When the familiar patterns of our days, the shape of our lives, has lost its clarity, our footing is unsure, we're a bit off balance. So the idea of beginning a new journey, stepping out into the unknown while the world is swirling around us, can seem somewhat daunting. We might prefer to deny that we are feeling powerless against life's uncertainties. it might just seem easier to pull those covers over our head and go back to sleep. But hope urges us on, like a tightrope walker, dancing on tiptoes. Hope is actually love, straining toward God's glorious future. Now, hope demands a certain agility, a balance, an equipoise. It demands spiritual reserves that are found most often by spending time in prayer and in the presence of God. Yet this is also the time of year when friends and families often require more of us, and we're asked to be of service to those in need, to visit an aging family member in a nursing home, to take our place as a volunteer in the soup kitchen, to spend extra time with that little person who needs help coping with the challenging emotions of this season. In times such as these, when there is so much need, we can feel overwhelmed. We can even feel hopeless. But the gospel calls us to choose a better way. In times of darkness, find light. In despair, find hope. And that's what Advent is all about. It's a place where we are supposed to stop and spend time looking for hope. You see, Advent begins not with the birth of a baby, but it begins with the end in mind. For that time when Christ and his kingdom is made manifest in our hearts and in our lives and in our world. Advent tells us what to hope for the coming of Christ in the power of love to restore justice and recreate the world God intended. So you see, Advent is a bit like sitting in a darkened theater before the curtain rises. In Advent, we await the coming of heaven on earth. We are to keep awake, keep alert for signs of God's kingdom breaking into our fractured worlds and lifting us up in light and in love. Now, there are times in our lives when hope comes quite easily, aren't there? When we just seem to soar as if on the wings of eagles, and hope can seem as close as our breath. But in more difficult seasons, hope is more of a cultivated discipline than a free-flowing emotion. So what do we do? How do we actually act in a way that manifests hope in our world? Well, one of the simplest spiritual truths is this: that which you give away always returns to you abundantly. So the first step is practicing hope, to be alive to its presence. But hope is sometimes hard to spot unless you know what you're looking for. You see, hope has many facets and can be practiced in the simplest of places. When we visit someone who is sick, that's hope in the form of comfort. When we sit and hold their hand, that's hope in the form of patience. When we make sandwiches in the homeless shelter, we find hope in an act of mercy. When we write a letter to our congressperson advocating for improved elder care, that is hope in the form of justice. When world leaders come together seeking common good across the great divide of opposing political ideologies, that's hope in the form of reconciliation. And when we delight in the first snowfall, catching snowflakes on the tip of our tongue, that's hope abounding in joy, abounding in holy play. So if we want to stir up God's gift of hope in ourselves and in our world, then we must exercise hope by participating in acts of mercy and joy and justice. So in season and out of season, it seems that hope takes practice. Poet Emily Dickinson reminds us that hope is like a thing of feathers. And although it asks nothing of you or me, we do need to fluff up that down pillow even after a good night's rest. Hope, my friends, takes practice. So what do? When we take that step, when we donate a farm animal to a family in Somalia or send Christmas gifts to soldiers in Iraq, we find that God is near. God is walking beside us, even when we're not quite sure where we're headed. As we strain towards that glorious future, we find that we are actually not only moving towards Christ, but it is He who meets us on the path. And we grow in our awareness that all the time Christ has been here, within us, beside us, behind us, in front of us, that Christ is there in you and me, in people and in places and in bread and in wine. If we only keep awake, keep alive to the awareness that God is always near, and through our acts of grace, God becomes more visible to all. Advent tells us that even in these dark times, even in the dormant places of our hearts, if we keep awake, our lives will be quickened by a hope born anew in the most unassuming of places. As poet and preacher Samuel Longfellow once said, it's like this: into all of our lives, in many simple and familiar ways, God infuses moments of joy from the surprises of life, which unexpectedly brighten our days and fill our eyes with light. So what are those unexpected moments of joy that Longfellow speaks about? Well, he says this: it's success when we're not counting on it. It's blessing when we're not trying after it. It's the strain of music in the midst of drudgery. It's a beautiful sunrise or sunset glory just thrown in as we pass to and from our daily business. It's an unsought word of encouragement, an expression of sympathy, a sentence meant more for us than what the writer or speaker could ever have said. These and 100 others are instances of joy surprising us. Now, you may call it accident or chance, says Longfellow, and it often is. You may call it human goodness, it often is. But always, always call it God's love, for that is always in it. These are the overflowing riches of God's grace. These are God's free gifts. So what do? When our hearts feel heavy with the weight of our world and our faith is waning? Well, Advent reminds us that preparing to meet Jesus means that hope is ever present in our world. So what are we waiting for? Hope is waiting to meet us on the journey, to enfold us in a love today, tomorrow, and for all eternity. So let us refuse to live in fear, but rather in faith. Refuse to let the darkness overshadow the light in our lives and in our world. Hold on. to an awareness of God among us. Hold on, for hope always has the final word.
Well, once again, welcome and happy new year to you all. Great to have you here as we begin the new annual cycle of the church year. I'd like to welcome some special guests who have come, a group I understand who are part of a close-up tour from Utah. Is there a Utah contingent here somewhere? Hidden over there, very shy of the Utah people. And then also I'd like to welcome a group from Good Shepherd Episcopal School in San Pedro Sula, Honduras. And I think, are you over there as well? It's wonderful to have all of you with us today. Welcome to you both. We would love for all of you to linger for some coffee and refreshments and conversation taking place just after the service. And as you do, keep an eye out for the people in the congregation today who are wearing the purple buttons, because those are signs that are members of the congregation here, and they might be able to tell you a little bit about our life and point you to places you might be looking for around the place. So by all means, linger for coffee at the west end of the cathedral and just over your right if you're going that way. Advent does mark a rather unusual season in the life of the church, especially as it relates to what's going on in the world around us with all of the hubbub of Christmas going on. The church calls us to create some space for quiet and reflection, to prepare for a really deep festival of Christ coming into our lives again in this season. To do that, we need to take the time to name for us where is it that we are praying for Christ to be born in us this season. So Advent says, wait, be expectant, find some time to be quiet. I want to make a couple suggestions of places where you might do that. One of them is at 4 o'clock this afternoon, when the service of Advent lessons and carols will take place here. An utterly beautiful service of fire and candlelight, expectation of Christ coming, some of the beautiful music ever written for the life of the church. But a wonderful time to be in this faith, a time of quiet before the hubbub really takes over and reflects on what this Advent season might be about. So I encourage you to come at 4 o'clock today. And then next weekend, we have two offerings of the singing of the Messiah by our choirs, both on Friday evening at 7:30 and Sunday at 4. Again, a wonderful chance to make sure you're holding on to what the real meaning of the Christmas exploration is. So by all means, join us for that, and it's blessing to you if you find your own quiet time on the way. A couple of items for those who are regularly part of our life. I mean, one is that the Sunday 4 of next week is going to be very interesting. We're having with us Dr. Timothy Johnson, who is the ABC News medical correspondent, who has been on 2020 and Nightline many times. Dr. Timothy Johnson's passion now is healthcare. He wants to talk to us about the relationship of faith and health and what people of faith can do to help the right kind of healthcare to be available to everyone. That will be on forum at 10:10 next week. I'd also like to mention our doc for Disciples of Christ in Community. There's a listening aside talking about the heart of Christianity. If you're interested in maybe this being the year, find out how significant your faith can be in the way you live your life. I encourage you to think about this doc class. It goes for 15 weeks beginning in the end of January. A wonderful chance to claim your faith at a new level and explore it with some others as well. So, have a look. There's a number to call if you'd like to ask questions. We'd love for you to consider that. But now, as we gather for this first Sunday in Advent, this is a time for the feast of sharing Christ's love in the bread and wine of the Holy Eucharist. Anyone who seeks a deeper relationship with God and Christ is welcome to come and participate. Others will show you the way, and there are directions in the leaflet if you'd like to know exactly how that all happens. Also, if there are people who would like individual prayers in the course of the service, just after you receive communion, please feel free to make your way up either side to the high altar, which is up behind me, and there will be people there to pray with you. We begin our feast by giving back some of the bounty that God has poured on us, especially in this significant time of need. I encourage you to be generous. The funds you give contribute to all the various ministries of this cathedral. So let us now with gladness present the offerings of our life and labor to the Lord.
Thank you.
we may without shame or fear rejoice to behold his purity. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Therefore, according to his command, O God, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to fill your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ, and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us with your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where, with all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thank you.
Father,